brothers.
Oh, yeah.
It's me, Austin.
Awesome.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I lie.
Oh, you didn't know?
And I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
See, I just didn't stand.
You just made the list.
Welcome into a special episode of WBGL and the Boardroom. I'm your host, Logan Hurston, and I'm, of course, joined by my co-host, the natural Noah Phillips.
We are here and in living color, baby.
The gimmick killer, Cooper Prater. Oh.
This is the most anxious I've ever felt during your WBGL taping.
The WBGL Undisputed Champion of the World, the giant Jack Dudley.
We are cramped in here, y'all. It is hard right now.
The greedy Grugs Blankenberg.
Yeah.
The crazy Kyle Greenberg. Connor.
Botch.
Sorry. Botch it up.
I think that's a good preview of how this is going to go.
I've already forgotten the K word.
Crazy with a K,
Kyle Davis. The crazy brothers.
Let's get down to business.
And Nelly Bear.
Now let me tell you something, brother. I am pumped to be on WWEGL on this fine Thursday afternoon or evening. Let's get down to business.
Well, this is a good start. do you have the belt, Jack? I want to see the belt.
Sure,
we have officially gotten a real championship with metal that looks good after, 60 episodes?
The entire lifespan of the show has been spent with two toy titles, and so now we are finally upping our prestige.
I debuted it so I could walk away into the summer with it, and you'll never see it until fall.
No, you're coming back for the summer.
I know.
You're gonna phone that in because I want that belt.
Oh, how long is the break? I don't even know.
Oh no, we're gonna be back by 2 weeks.
Oh okay, I thought it was longer.
Noah's a full time student. Ain't that right? You're a studious man.
They're pulling the smart method.
Because I am the only student broadcaster in this room, all right? Everybody else here is just broadcasters. I'm a student broadcaster because I put being a student first, unlike everybody else in this room, who are going to do nothing but be a coal miner and be poor for the rest of their lives.
We're too in love with the game, Noah. We're just too in love with the game.
Student broadcaster, brother, we have an award together for student broadcasting.
Hey, listen, we don't come here to play school, okay?
All right, well...
Hey, the Edge Eating Center is a prestigious establishment on the campus.
Well, we are back, the WBGL. We have a special today. It's a rich tradition of Weagle Day, which is Weagle's 53rd birthday. We did it last year on a whim where we watched, Backlash 2002?
Unfortunately, yes.
That was so awful. We are never doing that again. Luckily, this time, we actually planned it out. And because we have our new buddies, the Boardroom, here, first, are going to talk a little bit of sports. We're going to talk about Capital Combat 1990, The Return of RoboCop. I can't believe I let you pick this, by the way.
Well, I don't know if you knew this, Logan, but I draw money, okay? I sell tickets to get people inside this building so they can watch us do this podcast, all right? And I'm tired of pretending like I'm not selling tickets, okay?
I mean, for our listeners, for our thousands of listeners at home and abroad, there's a whole stadium around us right now. You can't hear the cheering. It's so loud. The audibles are, I mean, my ears are about to break.
We turned it down.
Yeah. You can't hear it at home, but there's thousands of people.
We're in a soundproofed booth inside
stadium. They can't hear us, but they are cheering.
It's like WrestleMania here. I can't believe it.
I know you guys, are a normal sports show, unlike our, what do we want to, it's
real sports show?
Real sports show.
Oh, it's real. It's real to me.
It's real to me. Yeah. But I know you guys had some news, so I'm going to let you guys take it away. I think Johnny Broome came back to Auburn, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we'll do this quickly, but boys, Johnny Broome is back. Returning third-team AP All-American will be back for the Tigers next season. A significant move for Coach Pearl and the Tigers after some quote-unquote blue bloods were out there trying to steal him away with some money, allegedly.
Yeah, Kansas and UNC had money in the bank, but it seems like Auburn had the briefcase the entire time, able to get him back. His return video was honestly him and Aubie with the titles. It was honestly picturesque. Shout out to the creative team. But this is an AP top 10 team walking into Neville next year. Walking into Maui, going a little surfing in Hawaii. We'll get some good view of how good our team will be there. But we're looking forward to next year after the disappointing end to our campaign last year.
Yeah, I think Kansas and UNC kind of forgot who they were in comparison to Auburn and forgot the 2019 happened when we ran them both off the court in March. And Jani Broome, he looked at some other blue bloods but realized that the bluest blood of all is here in Auburn, Alabama. And, yeah, pretty big news. I think his role is probably going to look a little bit different next year. I think we're all hoping he's going to get a minute increase considering he's an All-American. No more of the 25 to 30 minute. He needs to be playing 32 to 35 minutes a game. And I think if we don't go in the portal and get another four, we could see some Jani at the four, Dylan at the five, like we saw a little bit with Jay Will out. So exciting news. I think he probably knew that he's got to show a little bit more of a perimeter game and improve his agility and quickness a little bit to go to the NBA. But the twin towers of Jani and Dylan Carwell are going to cause some havoc in the paint, especially as some of the bigs, Tolu Smith, Big Z is transferring schools within the SEC, but there's some movement with some bigs around, so keeping the status quo is pretty big. I think I'd like to see us go get another guard and maybe a four, but we're in a pretty good spot right now to be a top 10, top 15 team in November.
Yeah,
Cooper, how many words did you understand of that?
Big Z.
I heard Z, and I know that one of the wrestlers on Capital Combat 1990 is
Z-Man. Z-Man. What a great segue.
And,
who would know that Big Z, the UK legend, would lead to an absolute mega segue into our. We're really here talking about.
Let me
today.
Do. I got one more good
it's some
segue.
Rest. Okay, fair.
We'll find out this next season in Neville if Jani Broome will finish his story.
That's so true. Oh wow, yeah, he's been cooking that one up for a while.
Kill me now.
The Neville Arena nightmare.
Well, you know, this pay per view that we are going to talk about today is kind of infamous for. What do we even call the RoboCop segment?
It's the return of RoboCop.
It is the return of...
I feel like it speaks for itself.
What's crazy is, like, I thought when I saw this title that he had actually, like, been in WCW before. No, this is the only appearance of RoboCop in WCW. The return is from the movie.
Exactly, because this was a tie-in for RoboCop 2. And so,
do you want to explain why RoboCop is here as the WCW-ite?
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but the Four Horsemen had been threatening all the little stingers in the audience. So Sting enlisted the help of fictional character RoboCop.
Real man.
He was there.
He was not a real...
cut out. You didn't see it. It was technical difficulties, he said.
I don't know if you noticed, but technically RoboCop is not a real man. If you watch the film, that's the whole point of the movie.
It was a documentary. It was a documentary.
You absolutely...
Documentary, Noah. Come on. He was real. He used in WD-40.
His
joints weren't right.
He's real.
Well, Sting enlisted the help of RoboCop to help protect all the little stingers in the audience that day in Washington, D.C.
See, this is my problem. It's like, okay, Sting, RoboCop, makes sense. So what you're insinuating is that the Four Horsemen were going to put Sting in the cage and beat up all the children in the audience, and RoboCop had to stop them from doing that.
Exactly right.
I mean, brother, that's called heat. Like, I don't know.
That's a real heel there.
See, if he was a real man, like Lance Archer.
Right.
But Capital, we actually watched this. I don't even know. It's not terrible. There's a lot of tag matches. It's enjoyable for certain. There are certain matches that are enjoyable.
Hair on hair. There are two matches that are enjoyable.
Yeah, those two matches. Hey, I had fun with the first match, man.
I'm glad that you did.
You know what this first match was? And I'll read this out. I'm being honest, Ego. I know is the 80s expert of the podcast. Cooper's pretty good on that. I don't know if me and Jack are even or he's a little bit better than me. I know names. I don't watch this. You kidding me? No way. No way I'm going back and watching RoboCop, man. I'm sorry. But Norman the Lunatic, Noah, can you defend this for me? Can you explain this character again?
Eugene was over for a little bit.
Okay.
That seemed to be as more of a confession than a reason, but okay.
Yeah, I was like, okay, Road Warriors makes sense. No Paul Ehring, because apparently he has to fight later and is the most jacked man of all time.
Yeah, he was prepping.
He was prepping to shave a man bald. We have Kevin Sullivan with no woman, because woman is with Ric Flair at the current moment. Cactus Jack and Bam Bam with Oliver Humperdinck. Oh, yeah.
The big kahuna.
It's what the a big name. Kahuna, who is the first. I want you guys, boardroom guys, look this guy up. Oliver Humperdinck. That's spelled H-U-M-P-E-R-D-I-N-K. Humperdinck.
Okay.
I thought that was one of the seven words you couldn't say on air.
No. It's a last name. It's a last name.
More than seven, brother.
I thought this guy was a wrestler, and let's just say, I can't say it on there. These are like the most craziest guys I have ever seen IRL. Like, this guy walks out, and I was like, what are we doing, man?
He looks like he's from the sixth of, like, West Virginia or something.
He was,
he's
like, standing in the ring, too, the whole time, so I thought he was going to wrestle.
It's a crazy-looking man.
He did nothing the whole match.
Hey, he had aura. He just stood there and basked in his own greatness, I reckon.
Oliver, he debuted as Bigelow's manager in, like, the WWF before this, and then he, like, followed him everywhere after. He was, like, became, like, his manager in real life and just ended up going wherever Bigelow went.
That's
got to
be, like, Bigelow's buddy, right?
Yeah, I think so. He'd have to.
You
got to
cut that cat loose, man.
Yeah.
You got to cut that cat loose. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we had the Road Warriors, where I saw that, and I was like, yeah! And then I saw, was it Norman the Lunatic? And it said, coming from a psychiatric ward.
Oh, God.
And then he showed him riding on a scooter down to the ring. I said, what are we doing, man? Why we got, who, isn't that Sebastian Booger?
Yeah. Yes, it was. The portrayer of Norman the Lunatic would later go on to become, among other characters, Sebastian Booger, as well as, what was the other one? Was he just called the Monk? Friar Ferguson.
Friar Ferguson. Never,
you're right. It was Friar Ferguson, and got a cease and desist letter from, I believe, the actual Vatican.
So three.
Hang on. Wait.
Terrible.
Boardroom guys, does this not make you want to go back and watch old school wrestling? All these names that you're hearing, like Friar Ferguson.
Honestly, to be honest, none of these characters or kind of groups sound nearly as appealing as the Bloodline, to be honest.
Oh, wow. Well, we do have a Samoan SWAT team, so.
That is, I mean, come on. I mean, they're basically the same thing, honestly.
Listen,
you can call me Paul Heyman. I only care about my tribal chief.
Wow. He was the manager of the Samoan SWAT
That's
team.
Yeah.
They don't know ball.
Of course, Cactus Jack being there, early Cactus Jack with the whole, like, back singlet thing he had going on there.
Match, right?
Yeah, that was the first match.
Yeah, so at first, it was interesting because, like, I didn't really know why Cactus was in this match other than just to get
they need another guy, bro.
All the, like, heat on him. He was like a punching bag for the most part.
And it was awesome.
And then there's one particular spot where I was like, oh, this is why they brought Cactus in. Because at one point, I think it might have been Hawk, probably, just chucks the steps directly at his head. And I was like, okay, so that's why he's here, because nobody else is taking that other than Cactus.
Yeah, they threw him over the top rope, which you can't do. Then Hawk jumps diving Larry off on the Cactus, then throws him through the barricade where I legit think he hit some fans. And then he threw the steps at him. I'm like,
yeah, those were not plants, I don't think.
Yeah, those were not plants. My favorite part about all of this is, and this is the start of what happened throughout the whole pay-per-view, is the rest were like, the commentator, Jim Ross, was like, the refs are being real lenient tonight because all of those things are broken rules in WCW, and the refs called none of them until the main event. But with that being said, I think we're going to go to a quick PSA break, but we'll be back after these brief messages. Welcome back to WBGL, Legal 91.1 FM, and the Boardroom. Always forgetting, plug that show. Plug. You guys are normally Thursday nights at 7?
Thursday at 7, yes.
Ooh!
Correct.
There you go. You
got Look it. At me go.
And also, we're not doing a killer. Also not doing a Weagle Day show, but Smooth Operators Podcast Fridays at 1 p.m.
Oh, God.
Noah, me, and Ben. Benward could not be with us tonight. He's testing it up.
My favorite podcast where you guys talk about Talladega. Ain't that right?
Hey, man, that is this weekend.
I thought that was this podcast.
That's
right
Dega.
Now. Hey, Dega is the best race in the entire world. I know what you're talking about.
Well,
better than any of your little F1 tiny car.
You dang right.
Well, we go in circles for 3 hours. It's a good time.
Which one had Dale? That's all you got to say. You got Max and you got Dale.
Could
Who
Max,
would you rather
Max
have?
Max Verstappen couldn't handle the Roval.
But back to Capital Combat.
The return of RoboCop.
just every time. You know, I think you guys are going to like this match. You know who's in this match? Pre-Undertaker, Mean Mark Callis, represented by Teddy Long. Holla holla.
Holla holla.
Now, how come Teddy could make it out for this match, but Paul couldn't come
right?
out for the Road Warriors
right?
match?
Teddy was all over this show, man.
Paul wasn't getting paid, brother. Jim, you got a double contract.
And who is he fighting? Johnny Ace. Noah, you have a gripe to pick with Johnny Ace.
Okay, so I watched these old WCW. For y'all that y'all might know him as John Laurinaitis, Power of the People. Every time I go back and watch some of these matches, Johnny Ace somehow gets cheered, and it makes me so mad because y'all should be on y'all's hands, like sitting on y'all's hands. Y'all should not be cheering this man. He's not that good. It's like watching a face version of Dangerous Dan Spivey. Like, it's awful.
The main thing I took away from this match, two things. One, Undertaker should bring back the chaps.
Yeah, he looked like he was he should be in like the Blackjacks or yeah. something. Like yeah, with the chaps and like the leather vest on and everything. Yep.
And two,
he even had like the Barry Windham like one glove gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And two, he should bring back the heart punch. Like that should be a move. Absolutely. Yeah, they were like, he has this heart punch. I was like, what the? And the heart punch into top rope elbow drop. Great combo. Yeah. But this 82, match
82 on the scoring metric.
Oh, yeah, 8.2 on the...
Slam-o-meter.
The Slam-o-meter. We should also bring... Were we bringing... We should bring this back every single week. We should bring back the Slam-o-meter. Come with the little sound effect here.
Yeah, yeah, you could do it.
We could do a WBGL Slam-o-meter.
For sure. They would just have to take our word for it.
I love they brought
they
it up.
They can't see it.
Yeah, they can't see it. I love they brought it up and then never showed the Slam-o-meter again. I don't think, after
that
match.
Yeah, they only put it up one time, I remember.
And they never showed it again. Terrible match, by the way.
Yeah, this was awful. I cannot stand Johnny Ace.
I saw Johnny Ace and I about fast forwarded. I'm not gonna lie.
By the way, Bob Caudill, I believe, calls Johnny Ace a young upstart. I think he's maybe 35 at the youngest at the time of this pay per view.
They said what, year three of his two or three of his professional career?
That can't be right. also, I put it down in my extensive notes. Good Lord, JR loves backstory more than a first-time Dungeon Master who's really excited to show off his new NPC to the party. he just keeps adding just useless information upon useless information about Mean Mark. Like we learned that like his favorite pet is like a snake or something.
Or when they said about his bio that his favorite pastime was being a bully.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a sports management major. I don't know what. I don't know what's better.
Could have gotten in Auburn. Could not get in Auburn.
More than useless backstory. It's his. It's like college career credentials. Like it's crazy. If you like did a drinking game where every time that JR like mentions his like a wrestler's college career, you would be dead. Like it's constant.
We are in college, though, so that's going
to
be
just,
us one day.
And just wait until we get to the Doom
match. Doom match, yeah.
He goes overboard.
Yep. Well, let's move on. First sighting of Teddy Long. It will not be the last. We then get to the Samoan SWAT team, the team of Fatu and the Samoan Savage, versus Tommy Rich and Mike Rotunda. The captain.
The captain.
Mike Rotunda.
Hey, brother, put those ones up. That's a member of the Bloodline right there.
That is a member of the Bloodline family. This match sucked. So there was a 5 minute, what is that? Like a pressure point spot where they did it on the shoulder, which was like the worst, like that's my least favorite move, I think, in all of wrestling, I've decided. And they did it for 5 minutes. And they are the most wet people I have ever seen.
That's still true to this day.
Yeah, because Jacob Fatu.
Pause. The hair.
Yeah, the hair. Like, everyone the out there is like, it looked like they just, like, drenched themselves in water before coming out.
did we mention Tommy Rich?
We did mention Tommy Rich. I know this is your mom's big favorite wrestler, right?
Incorrect. My mom's favorite wrestler is Mr. Wrestling Number 2. although, yes, Tommy Rich was a frequent player in Georgia Championship Wrestling. Now, I will mention this. We saw the Road Warriors earlier, and Road Warrior Hawk was in another world in that match. I don't know where he was. It was not in that arena. And very much the same can be said for Tommy Rich here. Is all I'm going to say about that.
We can't say what they were doing, but you can infer that for yourself. Let's move on to the
also,
best.
Also, give some flowers to Mike Rotunda. He's a baller.
He is.
I will not accept.
A premier collegiate athlete, no Jim Ross.
Syracuse University, baby.
He's a captain, man. He's the captain. He was a captain. Then he was IRS. But before that, what was he before that? It was just gimmick, just wrestler?
No, he was in the U.S. Express.
Yeah, okay. Another Express.
Yeah.
That's my thing. We have the Midnight. We have the Rock and Roll. Is it just that we just like the trains? In the 80s and the early 90s. Is that the thing? Like, what is with the Express?
I don't know, actually. That's a good... I don't know where that became such like a
Midnight,
thing.
Yeah. Rock and Roll, Orient Express.
Yeah.
And then now, obviously, modern day, all these new teams are just ripping off the past ones. Which,
I don't know.
Like, East West and Moonlight are definitely just like... It's supposed to be like, you know...
Very throwback,
but...
It might just be that one of them did it, and then everyone else started to do it after.
Yeah, that sounds cool, man. Yeah. I think it was Midnight it started, because there was a movie called Midnight. What I read on Reddit, which is, you know, take this for a grain of salt, Midnight was first because there was a movie called Midnight Express. And then Rock and Roll's like, that's cool. It said trains were big in the 80s, man. Then we jump to the best match on the card. Teddy Long, Theodore R. Long, appearing once again versus Paul Ellering, manager versus manager, hair versus hair match.
Incredible.
You liked this match?
I liked this one.
This was great. Less than 2 minutes?
Yeah,
Teddy Long got out.
The headgear, the boxing gloves.
The boxing gloves.
Tried to rip it off, and then they just – I thought he was going for the full head shave.
Yeah,
and
I thought so, too. I thought
he
was going
to go
bald.
And he just left him – like, probably – it was probably worse of what he did. Just leave it, like, partially halfway, like, cut off. And
no,
then
he looked fine later. I think, actually, it was better because he cut off the curls, right? Is that what he did?
Yeah, that was the whole gimmick, was he was growing those out.
Oh.
Jim Hurd said, hey, homeboy, you got to
– And then my dang Rick Steiner taking off his do-rag later. I was so mad. But, yeah, what did you think of this match, Cooper? This is fun, man. I don't care.
I also loved this. This was incredible. The only thing I like more than good wrestling is bad wrestling. And so, first of all, we've mentioned Teddy Long, who absolutely deserves his flowers in this match. Paul Ellering is too jacked for being a manager. There's no reason for him to look like that.
Yeah, he should be wrestling.
Yeah. I put down in my notes here, Paul looks amazing. Teddy Long looks better. It's such a perfect, like, little thing, the headgear, the boxing gloves. It's the total package, really. And I did not know that he was from Atlanta, as called by commentary. And so I mentioned down in my notes here that he has much better Atlanta representation than Austin Theory.
That is true. Any day. The most Atlanta man, as we say. We get to our first of the Expressway matches. We had the Midnight Express versus Brian Pillman and the Z-Man.
Favorite guy.
Flying Brian, actually. It actually has them as their full government names on the Wikipedia page. So it's Tom Zink, as known in
that
the
was not was, what was
in
on
the
lower
no,
third.
He was the Z-Man. Absolutely. And that's the only way I'm going to refer to him. And I saw the Midnight Express come out. I saw Jim Cornette come out, and I said, no, brother. I was like, man, and I saw him put him in that cage, and I was like, yes!
If I had a dollar for every Jim Cornette match I've had to watch for this show where he gets put in a little cage, I'd have $2, which is not a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice.
That is true.
Brother, that clothesline bump that he took, though, from the referee, that was awesome. You know what I'm talking about? Where he, like, gets pushed. Oh, my gosh, that's how you bump, brother. Made that referee look $1 million.
Jim Cornette sucks. It didn't even, I'm being honest, when I watched that, it didn't even look like the referee put his arm out. It just looked like Jim Cornette mocked into him, just bumped. He's like, oh my gosh. But this match was pretty good.
Yeah, this is one of the good ones on the show that I was talking about earlier. There is a very prolonged sequence with Bobby Eaton and Flying Brian that I'm pretty sure, like, looked like, I don't know, it must have been, like, prophetic at the time or something. But yeah, and I put down in my notes, like, could it be good wrestling? No, surely not.
No way.
Yeah, sure enough, it was.
This was the most tag team pay-per-view ever. I was very happy with that. I love tag wrestling.
Brother, because back in the past, you know, we actually had tag teams instead of whatever the WWE is doing right now, you know.
Yeah, Awesome Truth.
Or Truth and the Miz.
Yeah, R-Truth and the Miz tag team champions, bad. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller as tag team champions, bad.
Brother, I think you just hate people. Like, I don't get it, man.
Did we talk about the pizza titles on Monday?
I think we had time.
We did not bring up the pizza titles on Monday.
We have a lot of time because we're flying through this card.
I don't know. Do you want to do that later?
We can do it now.
I was just going to say I'm of two minds about it because on one hand, they don't look very good. But on the other hand, they still look so much better
than the last one. No, I completely
agree.
Like
15 years. Anything could be a step up from
that.
Yeah,
no, I like it better than the other ones. I'm very happy they're better than that, but they still are not great. What do you guys think of the new tag?
Did you see
titles?
It? Yeah, on Raw this week.
I did see. Yeah, it was interesting. Are they going to do the same for like how they changed the SmackDown title?
Probably, I think they're going to change the SmackDown to it. I think it's going to be a different design. I hope it's not streamlined. I really don't.
I like it more than the ones they've had for what?
Those
oh, yeah, they're still better.
The colored ones are so ugly.
No, they're awful. It's still better than that, but I still think – I don't. I don't like circular titles, man. Can you think of one good circular title?
I can't think of any other circular titles, Logan.
24/7.
Winged Eagle.
Okay, that's the one exception to the rule.
Is that a circle so it's much? It's like just sort of like a blob, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah. The early
have they showed the speed titles yet? For
no,
okay,
I think so.
Really, really locked into that Twitter speed title right now.
Yeah, I watched the first one. I haven't watched it since. Is Bronson Reed still in the tournament? Reed is speed, brother.
Honestly, I forget about it as soon as it's over, but I like it for the 3 minutes. So I'm sorry.
You got talking to Mike, brother.
I was just saying. I just said I don't really remember it after speed comes on, but I like watching it for the 2 or 3 minutes that it
that
is
you
on.
Watch it, yeah, and then exactly. You tune out.
Right.
But yeah. Back to the Midnight Express. Any other thoughts on this match before we move on to a PSA break,
brother? Please, for the love of God, if you're a wrestler hearing this, bring back the loading the boot gimmick. For the love of God. It is so cool watching a person, like, tap their foot and then the kick just does more power. Like, that's just awesome. Like, I don't know what you want from me.
It's totally real, too. That totally helps you kick with more power.
Exactly, exactly.
Actually, if you just do what my boy Kevin Koo does and just puts a chain around his boot, that also works the same way.
Also, for, like, clotheslines, like, reel it in a little bit, do a little circular motion with that.
All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to go to a quick PSA break, and we'll be back as we brief messages. Welcome back to WIBG on Wiggle 91.1 FM. The boardroom boys. The
boardroom isn't, yes, yeah, just WWE.
We've eradicated them from existence.
They were jumped.
We've been abandoned.
We are the board.
They did not want to talk about RoboCop.
The horsemen got them.
Speaking of RoboCop, we're talking about Capital Combat, the return of RoboCop from 1990. You know what's the funniest part? You know what the poster of this is on Peacock? It's not RoboCop.
Yeah, there's.
It's just the Road Warriors.
Which is way underselling it. That's like, how many more streams could you get if you put RoboCop on there?
Brother, you telling me you look at the Road Warriors and you're like, I don't want to watch.
Just
this.
Put RoboCop behind them. Yeah. But speaking of RoboCop, it's the RoboCop segment, guys.
Oh yeah.
So, it's Sting out first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sting comes out in. And as he comes out, he gets put in the cage by the Four Horsemen, and then RoboCop comes out. Was RoboCop already out there?
No. RoboCop comes in to save Sting.
To save Sting, yeah. Yes. Also, I don't think we mentioned this. I love this set design.
Oh, yeah. It looks pretty nice,
especially for 80s. Also, who got Pyro? We'll mention Pyro later. But Sting comes out he just comes out. Because he has to protect the little stingers, I guess.
To meet the little stingers.
To meet the little stingers,
the little
brother.
Stingers that he will protect later, yes.
And, of course, here comes Ole.
Yeah.
Okay, Ole. Who also gave a great promo earlier on. I think we didn't mention that, did we? Noah was like, I went away for a second during when I was watching. We had it in the other room. We're watching the Doom Steiners match. And I come back, and Noah has reversed it back to the Ole promo. So we can watch it again.
Because I like real ground.
Ole, Arn, and
Sid in suit. Sid in suit.
Dressed up for the opera.
Sid looking like the biggest guy to ever exist ever.
It's so funny because everybody else is like wearing polos.
Yeah.
And then it's just Sid just in a suit.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
It's like, brother, I ain't working today. I'm dressed for an opera, man. They put Sting in the cage. That was for Jim Cornette. And then lo and behold, who comes out but RoboCop as slow as possible. Rips the cage door off, and the horsemen just walk away.
Logan. Here comes RoboCop.
I'm so glad that you recounted this to me, because I was not sure that this actually happened until you repeated it back on the show. I was like, is this real?
Well, okay, so I knew that he saved Sting. I didn't realize that, like, this was it. Like, they didn't even come back out for the main. He came out for a glorified segment that was not needed at all.
The whole show was named after this, by the way.
Yep. He returned. I'm hoping, I really hope, that there were some people who does not care about wrestling and really liked RoboCop and paid for this.
Oh, surely there's at least one.
And brother, the first thing they saw was like, what's his name? Humperdinck?
Yes.
Come out?
Yes.
And they're like, man, what am I watching? And they're like, oh, RoboCop! And then he walks away. I also love when he first shows up, they do the little like glitch of the footage and all that stuff. And then he just comes out normally. The best part was, after the second's over, him and Sting are walking back. And I made you this in Noah, and he's like doing the, you know, he's walking like RoboCop. All of a sudden, he starts like looking down like normal. When Noah told me, no, I'm gonna let you say it, Noah.
Apparently, they don't have it in the Peacock version because of the way they have to cut the footage. But on his leg, like it broke, like the armor plating broke off from behind. That's why he was like looking down.
I mean, you can't plan it any better than that.
By the way, I feel like it's important to note here too. When he first comes down, JR, first of all, is losing his mind. He's like a kid in a candy store.
Who wouldn't? It's RoboCop.
Which I understand absolutely. And he just like keeps going on and on. He talks about him. He says like, he is the ultimate in law enforcement. He is the premier cop in this country.
He does
say
that.
And it's like, I'm sorry, are you paid by OCP? Like, is this the propaganda that they show in the movie as like a bad thing? It's like, okay.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, right on.
Bro, that's just Jim Herd, man. He's in that headset going, you better plug this, man. I swear.
Oh, for sure.
I also love that JR and Tony are wearing the exact same outfit. How young do you think Tony is here?
Oh, he's probably he was around for a while in the 80s too. So, I don't know, he might be like 28, I think, at like the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like, I don't know, like 30 at the oldest.
Also, I do want to mention about the Undertaker match earlier. This is 1990 and Taker debuts in 91. So, like, this isn't much longer.
Oh,
he's
really?
Gone with WCW.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, this is, like, summer 1990, and he debuted at Survivor Series 91. So,
right.
like, it's not long. I don't know. When does he sign? I assume he was with the WWF for a little while while they developed the gimmick.
Yeah. I don't know when exactly, no, but I'd imagine it had at least happened.
Or did he, like, immediately?
His pitch was, you were going to debut at Survivor Series, and he was like, I'm going to go in that egg. Because you remember,
yeah.
that's the same thing, and he's talked about it. He's like,
he thought he was.
I'm going in the egg, but I need a job. And then he showed up, and they're like, you're going to be the Undertaker. you're gonna bury people, pal.
It
says here he signed with the WWF in October of 1990, so it really would have been like less than half a year before that.
Yeah, wow.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Close. WWE never had a gimmick like similar to the Undertaker that was like mystical powers that actually was like successful.
I mean, they had the Great Muda too.
Okay,
I mean, that's kind of theirs.
That's
kind of not.
Yeah,
the
but he wasn't really. You know. But because I was thinking, because it's very funny, WCW has most
seven, famously.
No,
most of like the tie-ins, like again, like RoboCop, Chucky, and then obviously AEW has Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but
the peak version of this.
Like Jeff they have Jarrett. Like the iconic like where they have like the characters that are obviously fantasy like come in. Where it's like to me, a lot of these would have probably worked better in the WWF because they have the Undertaker running around who is like and Kane who are like canonically like should not be there like against like all real wrestlers. Where, like WCW, like mostly you know like I mean like there's bad guys stuff like that, but like they're not again like it's not like. Evil undead wizard and his brother who controls fire and you know
yeah and I don't know I think that's mostly a carryover from like the like you know southern wrestling
yeah.
side of
yeah.
it where yeah you know most of the characters in there were essentially just like tough dudes
yeah
you know and like if you wanted to be a heel you would just be like tough to the wrong person like
yeah
yeah,
yeah that's but no real room for like the supernatural or anything
yep. Well, moving on, we're getting to the next match.
Hang on. Well, before we go to that next match, there was a promo segment between the RoboCop stuff and the next match, which was the reintroduction
of
Junkyard Dog, baby. Such he's come back from the WWF. He is not as fit as he was back in Louisiana, but he's doing this interview, and Jim Cornette comes through. He says, oh, this was supposed to be my interview time to talk about the great Midnight Express becoming champions. And Junkyard Dog responds to Jim Cornette's question of where have you been by saying 845 DeBar Street, Louisville, Kentucky. Do you know where that is, Jim? And Jim goes, that's my mom's house. And they're, you know, getting a scuffle. I looked up that address, and I guess Jim Cornette's mom lives in a hospital.
Oh, wow.
Oh, which, wow. They might have, like, remodeled some stuff, but, like, it's like, legit just behind the hospital. And I looked on, like, the street view, and there's, wild. Like, a connection point. So either Junkyard Dog made that up.
Or Junkyard Dog, like, killed Jim Cornette's mom. Yeah, right. Junkyard Dog maimed Jim Cornette's mom.
Now, I didn't even know this happened. I have no, like, knowledge.
I didn't actually
JYD's
listen to the promo.
WCW run in the 90s. How long did he stay there? What happened?
He stayed, like, the rest of his career.
Really?
There.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Because I know, like, other. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, he was kind of like the Iron Sheik, if you know about that situation where they just forgot to terminate his contract. So they just had to keep giving him money.
That's crazy. So I somehow, that's just a gap in my knowledge.
That's
I
a real
no
worker, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Carl Anderson of his day.
Absolutely.
But up next, getting back on the expressway, we have the Rock and Roll Express coming down with a jukebox.
Moving jukebox. They have telekinesis or something. That's great.
Versus the Fabulous Freebirds, which is a team of Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin.
I got real excited when I heard Bad Street USA.
And then you saw Jimmy
Garvin. And then I saw Jimmy Garvin. It's like, oh, it's this version of the
I agreed. I was like, where's my boy? It's like, where's Bam Bam? But also,
Gordy, not Bigelow.
Yeah. Right. Gordy, that's what you know.
Was this not after the plane crash, though? Or was it, like, just before? Or the accident.
I think he may have been AJPW at the time.
Yeah, I think Gordy was still working in Japan. The overdose, I know, wouldn't have been until much later on into the 90s.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I just couldn't remember.
Also, here's my problem with this match. Why are both teams wearing red trunks with white boots?
It gets really confused.
The only difference is one has black and one has white. But, like, especially when they get real sweaty, it got real. At one point, I'm like, why did Michael Hayes just tag in one of the Rock and Roll Express? I will say the pyro for Freebirds was awesome. From, like, the ceiling, it's like.
Well, okay, so Michael Hayes shoots something out from his hands, too.
Yeah.
He has, like, these little, like, sparklers or something that he, like, throws out. It was weird. Michael P.S. Hayes hits a surprisingly smooth moonwalk. Like, at the start of this match, I was impressed.
Yep. This is also a corporal punishment match,
which is
a strap match. And my favorite part about this match is after the Rock and Roll Express gets the win, Ricky Morton just proceeds to keep beating the Freebirds until they get out of the ring with the strap. Like, they win, and, like, instantly he gets up, he starts, wah-bah, 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 wah-bah. It's, like, the most, like, heel thing to do. Like, I'm not really, like, I don't know.
Well, it's because those dang Freebirds needed a little bit of respect beaten into them, okay?
I guess. What did you think of this match, Cooper?
This is not very good.
Yeah.
this is nobody's favorite version of the Freebirds.
No.
And as much as I do like the Rock and Roll, they're both past their prime here as well.
It's like every time I see them, they're old.
Yeah.
Like, when are they not old?
Yeah. There's a very brief window, you understand.
Where they're not old.
Yeah. But no, it was not ideal, certainly. The corporal punishment strap element to it, too, like, was very loosey-goosey. Like, I didn't know, like, if it was just a free, like, anybody can use any strap at any time. Like, why didn't they start out with the straps, if that's the case? Like, you know, I don't know. It was kind of a mess.
Yeah, for sure. I do love, though, the strap element was funny. I also love that, like, because they looked old here in 1990, they've gotten just, I mean, they got a little older, but, like, they're not that far off from here to where they are in 2024. So shout out Rock and Roll for consistently looking old for 34 years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, carrying on with the new generation, too.
Yep. We have two more matches left. We're going to go to a quick PSA break, and we'll be back after brief messages. Welcome back to WEGL and WEGO 91.1 FM.
It's Capital Day.
Capital Combat.
The return.
The return. You know what?
RoboCop.
No. All right, we're going to get to that. Do we have to talk about the main event? Do we have to?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to mention
all of this, if not.
I want to mention Soft Ground Wrestling Uganda had the greatest angle of all time.
Correct.
As MXM, Maximum Male Models, Mansoir, and Massey or Mason Madden, and it's still Mansoor, came down to Uganda and beat up Lord White, and it was awesome. And Lord White said it was not canon.
You know, a lot of wrestling is bad, right?
Yeah.
This show, for instance, that we're
tickets, I don't know.
But sometimes, in Once in a Blue Moon, if you wish upon a star, wrestling is good. And this was good.
Well, you want to speak of good wrestling. Our next match, I'm talking about big men.
Oh, yeah.
With big chests.
Oh, yeah.
Bumping me.
Oh.
Big, meaty men. Yeah. Big, meaty men smacking me.
He just can't. He's too excited.
I'm too excited. I'm too pumped. It's Weagle Day. I got four gigantic dudes just smacking. Look, you talk about your Southern wrestling, Noah. This is my type of wrestling. With these guys who are obviously probably on some type of juice, looking like absolute.
As they should, by the way. This is a positive.
Just beating the crap out of each other. You got Teddy Long, one of the greatest managers of all time. Underrated, in my opinion. Stokely Hathaway learned a lot from him. Come out, do-rag on. Get the do-rag stolen. Put it back on, bro. Come on. This match was awesome. Also, they never went over the top rope, which apparently in WCW rules is a disqualification. It happened multiple times. So,
brother, they need to bring that back.
I am such a component of doing that because it just adds something. I don't know. No. It gets me going.
It adds something. I don't know what it is, but it adds something.
All right.
Doom Steiners, guys.
If I was alive in 1990, this would be on my match of the year.
Yeah.
this is so cool, dude. Doom are the coolest tag team ever. I love them so much.
What's funny is, he's telling me about this, over the top rope thing, and I was like, one of them's going to do it. Every time they go to the outside, I'm, so brave. I'm like, they're going to do a tope suicida. and he's like, they can't do that. I'm like, brother. The Steiners do a Frankensteiner. Scott Steiner could definitely do. And then he does the spot where he literally does this jumping hurricane run. I'm like, that dude can do a tope.
yeah, for sure. Dude, at this point in time, in comparison to his size, Scott Steiner is probably the most athletic wrestler.
Scott is unbelievable. I can't, it doesn't compute when I see him wrestling in this era. Doesn't work. Yeah.
He is truly a genetic freak from day one, but also. He did a promo before this.
Oh, yeah.
Steiners did. And he talks for the most of it. He sounds exactly the same as he does now. But it's weird to hear that voice, to hear Big Papa Pump voice coming out of collegiate, clean-cut athlete Scott Steiner.
Yeah. It's not full.
Well, you know, Tony.
To be fair, it's not full Papa Pump voice. There's a little bit. It's a little bit different. It's a little less, over.
He's not talking about people that he's not in a feud.
Well, The Purple Warrior! but this match, I don't even know what we can say more about it. It was awesome.
Brother, I would like to bring up the fact that JR does not know what a do-rag is. the entire time he's going, that rag, that cloth on top of Teddy Long's head. No, it's a do-rag, JR.
This was also the most JR collegiate.
overdosed.
I'll say, I think there are a lot of wrestlers in the Attitude Era who didn't get their due diligence because the main event scene was so locked down during that time. Ron Simmons is fantastic. He's such a good big man.
I had that in my notes. I said, in watching Doom, you notice two things. One, Hacksaw, Butch Reed, is probably the more dynamic of the two of them. For those big power spots, he's so explosive.
Yeah.
But Ron Simmons is crisp. Everything he does looks just right. You definitely understand why he was the one to get the singles push, and rightfully so, because, that dude is reliable.
100%.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, no, I'm so good. It was so good. This is all I want. I saw this match with the current. When Noah was reading me these matches, I was like, I really don't want to watch this show them. I was like, I'm interested because I'm like, it's going to be a good, beautiful train wreck.
Oh, absolutely.
And I saw Doom versus Steiners. I'm like, all right, I'm in. All right, that's the price of admission right there. But we had this great match, and then we moved on to a match. Steel cage, disqualification. We got the world champion, Ric Flair, versus U.S. champion Lex Luger, whose belt popped off of him as he jumped off the apron.
That's what we're so bloated. Those, brother.
My favorite part is Lex Luger is oiled to the nines. Ric Flair is not, so it's a very jarring.
Yeah.
Also, this is WCW steel cage, which is just more like New Japan's cage.
It's like a proto cell.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a roof, but it kind of caves in.
You can't climb out of it. Unless you're you gotta be crazy, you know? And of course, you know, you can't have double champ. So who wins? Ric Flair by disqualification. And it's, I don't know, it was a fine match.
That
but I'm
dang
like,
blasted Barry Windham helping out those dang
yeah,
blasted
you know,
four horsemen.
Also,
this, got control of the mechanism
so,
to raise and lower the cage.
I just want to see the horsemen get what's coming to them, man.
Yeah.
Take this and you know what we got to do? We got to buy a ticket to Baltimore
exactly.
in 1 month.
Yeah,
let's break it down.
It was
all
such
right,
a deflating
the match
ending.
Oh, yeah. You know, Flair's doing his stuff. He blades, figure four. There was some, you know, it's fun cameras. Woman was there.
That's true. Yeah, she had a foreign object
in her gloves.
In
yeah,
the glove, yeah.
I also oh, yeah. did he hit? I don't think did Lex ever get the rack.
Yes, he did.
He did? Yeah.
And, but then the ref couldn't like he was being the ref was I think either being distracted by a woman or by the horsemen who were running out at that time.
Yeah, and then horsemen of course try to get in the cage. Sting comes out, starts attacking them. Sting's three versus one. Sting's injured. Then Hood comes out. What was his name in WC? It was Giant
Elegante.
Elegante. Mortal Kombat 2 gear? Yeah, brother. Absolutely.
Brother, that man just came off the Hawks travel squad and said, all right, Jim Hurd, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I want you to put on this and go out there and help Sting.
Was Mortal Kombat even out at that point?
No, not at all.
He was the OG. He was the OG.
But no, yeah, the El Gigante and Sting, the team I never knew that I wanted until they showed it to me.
And then Barry Windham, which is very funny because I see him, I'm like, I don't know who that is. And Noah, I'm like, Noah, who is this? Because Noah, you know, actually, he's like, I don't know, man.
You didn't know Barry
Windham? No.
Oh. I don't think about it. I was like, oh,
and
wait.
And we're sitting there, too, and like, we can't really hear commentary. So we can't tell, like, what they're saying. So I'm like, we're going to go on this podcast. And I'm not going to know who El Flair. I'm like, I assume Cooper knows. So I'm like, I have no idea. And finally he goes, it was Barry Windham. Yes. It was Barry Windham.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that dastardly heel, Ric Flair,
right.
retains.
Escapes.
Yeah, with his title, via disqualification.
Didn't get the winner's part of the paycheck, though.
And we go home.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. I hated this match. I was trying to think of a nicer word. It's a bad Flair match, which is not something that you say all too often about his WCW stuff.
A bad Luger match,
A bad Luger match, which is
something
that you
said
say
a lot.
Often
yeah.
about his WCW
hey,
stuff, and all of his stuff.
Rack them up.
I just don't understand 90s wrestling companies trying to make Lex Luger a top face. He looks like a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he wrestles like he's like heard of the concept of like hulking up and like powering up. But it was explained to him by somebody speaking a language that he doesn't understand.
Because like when he does it, he still like takes the impact and like sells it for a second, and then he does the Hulk up.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah.
It's like
weird.
He just doesn't. He should have always
Such
been
a
heel.
Strange man.
Should always been a heel.
But yeah, that's it. I do want to mention because Raw happened. Good episode of AEW, and I'm sure we'll get into that maybe at some point. I don't know. Actually, we're not gonna probably be on air next week. Sorry guys. Softball is awesome. And the week
you
after
you can do a little bit more than that.
I said softball
you can,
is
you
awesome.
Can plug it a little
well,
bit more.
I don't
more.
Know who we're
hey,
playing. Who
this
we
is
playing?
A big weekend this week. Three more series are left for
we
this softball
We don't have a lot
team.
Of time, all right? We can plug this later.
It'll be Auburn versus Kentucky coming up this next
okay.
Monday. It
well,
is a it is a Saturday, Sunday, Monday series.
When we come back right 1 week before finals, before summer semester starts, we'll be back in the summer. We're going to do a TNA episode.
Oh,
we goodness. Don't know which one. We are going to do one. But thanks for listening. I do want to mention Chad Gable, Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great collegiate athlete.
Yeah, great collegiate athlete. Dude, Sammy had the – if you haven't seen Sammy's entrance, Cooper, I know you don't watch. It's the best
I know, it's
entrance.
The it's the one shot.
But like,
I've heard about it.
But have you seen him like come in?
No.
You have to see
I've
the crowd.
I've heard about it.
It is pretty neat.
It's pretty
stuff.
Neat. But
I liked the angle at the end. It was good.
With that being said,
that dastardly Chad Gable.
Exactly.
I hope someone gives him what due.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to WABGO 91.1 FM. That has been it for us in this special time slot at 9 o'clock. We'd like to thank the boardroom for coming on, talking wrestling just for a little bit with us. If you want to follow us on our podcast player's choice, we're on Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. You want to follow us on Twitter, I am at @ByLovingHerson. Noah's at @No_Phillip64. Jack's at @AverageDarth. Cooper doesn't have a Twitter, but Cooper, any last words?
El Gigante deserved better.
Put that man in the Hall of Fame.
We will be back in a couple weeks, and then we're going to take another couple weeks breaks after that. But we'll be back to a full schedule, maybe 2-hour summer podcast. But we will see you guys later. Goodbye and good night for Weagle Day. Bang!